hits me. Gotta bring it back now. Oh, you to see.
I am not a dirty dog. I am Dual Parallel. This is Radio Freak America 20. We got some great outtakes just from this show. Just from this freaking show. Alright, there's no racks this weekend. It's me, it's...
Lovely Mary Chan.
Mary Chan and...
Skylar.
And Skylar. I'm so blessed. Let me see my show notes here. I hope they can hear me over the background music. Oh yeah. Okay. Rax, if you're curious, is on trial. You know, I'll turn it up. I don't care. He's on Little Travel Before H2K2. We're all going to be there. I'll see all you listeners there. We're going to be handing out some swag. Hopefully, we got the stickers. Definitely the CDs. I'm going to start at the show by giving the lack of security award. And guess who it goes to? It goes to feds. That's right. Federal employees. Specifically, a 12-year veteran of the USDEA. Was arrested in Guadalajara, Mexico last month. Lovely. Apparently he was selling proprietary data, private data, to an investigative firm for like $100 a pop. $100. Dude, I could get way more for that. If I was going to sell data, I would want like $300, $500 a pop. Something to get a really good hooker.
So wait. Okay. What kind of information was he selling?
Well, I don't know. DEA, I'm assuming investigations. Who knows what kind of data he sent? Let me see. Property, slipping, government paycheck, anywhere. Allegedly earned the lease. Okay, he had computer. Of course, he was an authorized insider. He had computer access. What was he selling? Purloined data came from three law enforcement computers. Oh, okay, here's what he was selling. FBI National Crime Information Center data. California law enforcement telecommunications system data.
Only and for $100?
$100 a pop.
I get paid $100 to work on my slow days.
That's
you know?
Right. Well, and there's another one too. Who was it? Some lady was doing the same thing in California, or maybe it was in Nevada. I don't remember. So, feds get the lack of security award this week. That's a bunch of crap. They get the idiot award this week.
And the what? I'm pimping off my government award.
Totally. They are the malicious insider. They have.
Can I say yay again?
Say it again.
Yay!
Yay, MILF. They have... they have all the access, authorized access, and they abused it. So, folks, all of your information is out there somewhere, and somebody has access to it, and they'll sell it for a nickel. They'll sell it for a dime. They'll sell it to get a dime bag, bastards. All right, I'm not going to rant anymore tonight. No more ranting. I'm going to be nice and calm.
Hey, Skylar, let's go look under the couch. Maybe we can get some info for ourselves.
No. There's no private info. There's nothing here that anybody be interested in buying.
But we have a lot of coins and stuff under the couch.
Oh, yeah, that, yes, yeah. Okay. I brought up feds. guess what? I didn't get to go to the last 2600 meeting. But me and Slipping Away did, and Forrest did. And Forrest actually sent me an update for that meeting. I like to keep tabs even if I don't get to go. Apparently, there was a Fed at the meeting. Yes, there was a Fed at the meeting. Okay, this is nothing new, big deal, right? It's been done 100 times before, lots of Feds, blah, blah, blah. But, and made them uncomfortable. They had to go inside GameWorks. Here's the thing. Here's the but. Why don't the Feds just walk over, shake hands, say hi, have a Coke and a slice of pizza, and hang out? We got nothing to hide. We're just having fun, talking about technology, exploring things. What are you doing?
Nothing.
I like this song. I hope you folks can listen back on me. It's awesome, like club music.
I'm surprised it's going to be too loud.
No, I bet you it's not.
All right.
I guarantee it. So, I am, if any feds listen to this, and of course I use the words feds with the most respect ever. If any feds are listening, please, come say hi.
Then be polite, say federal Euro agents.
Whatever.
And I mean, think about it. Aren't you more likely to get these people to trust you, be friendly, if you're friendly first?
I can imagine it too. You know, guy, like, you know, wearing a jacket, thick sunglasses, people come up to him, hey man, how you doing? I'm not a fed! Okay.
It must have, you know, the people at the meeting, of course, are very sharp. I'm sure he wasn't that obvious, but I'm sure it was fairly apparent that it was a federal agent. Yeah, you know, come up, hang with us. We could definitely learn something from each other. I guarantee you can. You know, another thing, so if you don't do that, guess what? I think that we should start keeping track. Maybe this has been done before, I don't know, but we should start keeping track of feds at meetings. Take their pictures. I know Manuel Goldstein says that. Take their picture, right?
And post them on hotornot.com.
That's right. Hot or not is fed hot. Take their pictures, keep track of all the meetings they go to. I'll put it on Old School Freak, you know, track the feds or the Fed Watch.
It could be like, where's Waldo?
That's right. Where's the Fed? So, feds, come on over to the Hack a Meeting.
We'll give you pizza.
That's right. I'm extending a friendly hand to
and
all the feds out there.
And soda for 70 cents.
Yeah, dude, I'd bust out. I would buy, if a Fed came up, I'd say, dude, you're awesome. I'm going to buy like a large cheese, right? And I'd buy him a vanilla Coke.
I'm
and we could
vegan,
have fun.
And I don't like caffeine.
I'm a Mormon Fed.
The Mormon
I'm sorry.
Vegan Fed.
I'm sorry. I apologize to all you Mormon hackers out there.
If there are any, like, I don't know, like, maybe three.
There might be. I'm sure there are lots of Christian hackers, just like Christian scientists. And anyways, I'm extending a friendly hand to all the Feds. Look, here's my friendly hand.
You it's really there, folks.
That's right.
You can't see it.
It's very friendly.
It's there.
It's very friendly. Nice and clean. Oh, but guess what? Now I'm pulling back the friendly hand, and I'm extending my middle finger, that's right, to Altel, bastards. I just canceled my yay for calling Altel bastards.
Well, I like yay. I'm gonna make it into a little sound clip, and whenever we get bored, we'll hit the little button. And
yay. I canceled my Altel service. Why? Because it was horrible.
No.
It was the worst ever. I canceled my terrible service from Altel, and guess what? Now Altel offers a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. That's right. You know what? I think they knew. They knew exactly when I canceled, and then they offered this guarantee. Because I let them have it, too, when I canceled, because it was so hard to cancel. Here's what I had to do to cancel. I went into the store. I physically went down to the store, because I thought it would be quick. I thought it would be expeditious to actually go in person to get friendly service by energetic people to cancel my account. No, I was totally wrong. You know what they did? They gave me some 800 number, said, here, call this. And guess, and now check this out. I waited. So I said, okay, fine. It's an 800 number. I went to their courtesy phone and called that number. And I waited on hold for 20 minutes. 20 minutes I waited on hold to cancel my account. And then guess what? I was hung up on. Bastards. Double bastards. Altel sucks so bad. The whole year of my contract and the little bit I kept them, they were just terrible. They were lazy. They were dumb. The coverage was terrible. I would not get coverage in the middle of the metropolitan area where I have service. I had a StarTech at first, and that sucked. It was just the worst ever.
Altel customer service is really bad. I had a friend who broke her phone, and she tried to get it replaced. They're basically like, well, you're kind of screwed. All you can do is buy a new phone. So she doesn't have the money for it. She waits 3 months. She calls them up again and says, you know, this is really kind of ridiculous. The phone's broken. You're supposed to give me a discount on it. It's not even working, so I want to cancel my service. They gave her a hard time about canceling it, and then they finally offered her a deal on the phone, which wouldn't 3 months ago.
I know, that happened when I was there. It happened to somebody while I was there. Oh, yeah, you know what? And the computers were down when I was there. They had no computer access. They were sending people to every other store in this area.
Surprise, surprise.
At least you don't have Cricket like we do.
Yeah, Cricket sucks even worse. You heard from Braxton about, you know, they over use all their cell sites, drop calls, and they just take it, you know? Not to mention, they raise their rates. $3.
Actually, the interesting part is my sister actually ended up getting Alltel as well around the same time you did. She lives out of state, actually, and she, you know, and it's a really good deal. She gets free weekend. She can call me on my cell, you know? So, Alltel line here. No, I didn't mean Alltel. I messed up.
That's okay. Was it?
The one you had. The new
AT&T.
One.
AT&T.
Yes.
AT&T rocks. I have AT&T now. I switched to AT&T Wireless. First of all, I can't praise AT&T Wireless enough. First, I'm sure the AT&T has other bad habits, but this I'm talking about my wireless service. First of all, they're bringing GSM to the U.S. Those little phones, the phones are awesome. All the color screens, the games. I can't wait for that. Of course, coverage isn't as good. It's only digital. Second, they've got great customer service. Excellent customer service. I go into the store. The lady that helped me bent over backwards, helping me with phones, seeing if she can give me any discounts. I was very pleased with the service, very pleased with the prices, and the calling plan. See, I don't have weekends free, but I get, for $10, $9.95, I get 1,000, I'm nationwide, I get 1,000 night and weekend minutes, which is a great deal. I mean, I do most of my talking then anyways. Okay, so we've got cool technology, cool phones, we've got great customer service, we've got good prices.
Nice people.
Very nice people. That's like a double. So props to AT&T and fuck you, Alltel.
Woo! Says Duel, the phone connoisseur.
Did you hear that? PHUCK Alltel.
That's bad, dude.
Now, you know what? I want to push my phone. Oh, it's on my truck. That's right. I know it by heart now. I got a Nokia 6320, 6360. I guess I don't know by heart. I want to pimp this phone. It's a great phone. It was like $150. It's got a great button layout. It's got a really big screen. But, you know, the lady there said, yeah, you know, you have to cycle your battery so it'll last longer, has a longer, you know, overall life. And you know what? Actually, the battery life annoys me because I had to wait forever for it to totally discharge. It was so annoying and holds a charge for so long. I've also had people tell me... What'd you
nothing,
say?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Did you just say you want it on vibrate mode?
No, I said holds it.
Holds
and I was
it.
Thinking of
it. You guys are dirtier than me. I've also had people tell me that it sounds like I'm on a landline when I use that phone. So I give it 9 out of 10 DTMF tones for the Nokia 6360. Oh, God, I don't even remember what it is. Oh, here it is. Yes, I knew it. It was a 6360. Great phone. Not to mention it has voice-activated dialing. It's got a built-in voice recorder. Comes with a headset.
Whoa.
Highly, highly recommend that. All right. We were going to have a special interview tonight. We still might. All right, so I'm kind of... Listeners, you know, I'm doing this for you. I don't want to jinx this. But I was going to have, and I hope still to have, a special interview tonight. About an hour ago, I called this person to see if they were ready. I talked to them earlier, and they weren't there. She wasn't there. You know, that, and this was for listeners. I was like really, you know, I had to really work to get this interview, and it's really an elite interview. Somebody who's seen the telco industry inside and out. In fact, helped modernize, you know, a regional telco. So, again, I don't want to jinx it, but I'm hoping, beyond hope, that we'll still get this interview. This is a rough week already for the show, just because of Hantu. Yeah, you should cry. Hantu tomorrow night, which is preempting us, which is fine by me. H2K2, I'm leaving in a couple of days. You're going too, right? It didn't work out to get it before the show, which hurts, because now I don't know how much to record.
Come on, listeners, if you believe in telco, clap your hands.
Clap your hands. Everybody join hands and sway back and forth to the music. Please, telco lady, be there for the interview tonight.
Duel's gone crazy, ladies and gentlemen. I really apologize about all this. You know, I mean, we just try as co-hosts and all, but looks like we're going to have to improv now and everything. I'm sure we can think of something.
By the way, we're always improvising. But really, this interview is the shit. So we're going to hope we get. If not, I'm going to play some music, and it'll be a short little show. Who cares? It's going to be downloaded only this week.
Yeah, me and Scott get to, anyway, later on go and play Dungeons & Dragons anyway. So.
Yeah. Hey. As long as you guys don't talk about hyenas, but you can talk about piercings.
I can talk about
piercings. All right, this is a little alternative talk for the show. I actually, because this Telco interview is going to be everything.
You got a new tattoo?
No, I was going to for H2K2, but I didn't. I didn't have time. But we're going to talk about piercing. Oh, but I did this.
Dude, let's all go out and get a tattoo for Duel.
I'd love to. Right now? You guys have time?
Why not? And we can just bring them along.
Are you serious? I would go get a tattoo right now.
I want to do it just because it sounds so tempting.
I'd be up for it.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. All right, well, Duel Parallel, Radio Freak America 20 is going to get a tattoo tonight for H2K2, baby. Oh, yeah. This is Duel again. I did not get my tattoo tonight. Hopefully tomorrow. But the interview did come through. So, listen to this brief musical interlude, and then listen to the most elite interview ever on Radio Freak America. All right, I am overjoyed. I am so happy. This is Dual Parallel, and the interview came through. I can't tell you how happy I am, and I'm going to call our special guest, the woman of the hour. I'm gonna call her Woman Telco. I think that's more respectful than Telco Lady. How are you?
I'm fine.
Thank you so much for joining me. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. I also can't tell you how much I appreciate the gift you gave me, and that is the operator's headset. No, it's a supervisor's headset from was it the late 60s, early 70s?
Late 60s.
Between
67, 69.
That is, it's amazing, listeners. She gave me, this is a special friend, by the way, and she gave me, like I said, a supervisor's headset, and it's, you can tell it's a supervisor's headset because it's got the two plugs, right?
Right, and that was to overplug the operator that was running the system. You could go in and plug in beside them, and you could flip it off or flip it on, so they couldn't hear that. That was a silent switch, so you could monitor what they were doing. And also, you could take calls if there was a problem call or if they were having a problem dealing with the call. So it was really used in the training capacity and the supervisor capacity to monitor and to evaluate the performance. So the operators would sit there, of which I was one at one time, and you would just freeze when they came up behind you because you knew they were plugging in right beside you to hear exactly what you were telling the customer. This was the old wire keyboard where you had lights come on the stand in front of you, and you plugged in, and that was actually a customer calling in, dialing O for operator, and you would say hello, and at that time, the light would go out, so no other operator could plug into that or shouldn't plug into that. Of course, there were times where we played games, and if somebody plug in and they were having a hard time with the customer or the customer was yelling at them and they were getting flustered, you could plug in over that same hole, even though the light was out, and you could hear what they were saying. Or a lot of times if you get angry at a customer, instead of releasing them nicely by saying, excuse me, sir, but, you know, I can't talk to you if you're going to speak that way or whatever, you would just unplug and you'd let somebody else pick them up and then you'd overplug them and you could hear their conversation.
That is a great story. Did you have a lot of trouble?
Yeah, there were, you know, as in any business, you get irate customers and sometimes you don't get the people that work there to handle it in the most appropriate way. So instead of appeasing them, you're just getting them more irate. And there were, you know, a lot of things that were you weren't supposed to do, but you figured out after a while that you could do. Of course, you didn't do it when the supervisor overplugged you and was listening to the conversation. Then in later years, what happened is it all kind of went more to a keyboard on the supervisor's desk. So they didn't have to physically walk behind you to plug in. They could turn on your position so you could hear. They could hear what you were saying to the customers. So as technology advanced, you know, it kind of became less apparent when you were being supervised. But you were evaluated throughout your whole thing on the conversations that they were privileged to, and that's how you either kept your job or lost your job.
They were covert. I can't tell you how big I'm smiling right now. This is the best ever. Now you weren't an operator for long. You went on to bigger and better things.
I was an operator for a long time. I was an operator for about 10 or 11 years.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was. And then I moved and quit to have a baby. And actually, at that time, when I went back, after, I think, 5 or 6 years, you had the opportunity to bridge your service. So once you worked for 5 years, you stepped the service that you previously held with the phone company. So that's exactly what I did. But when I went back, I then went into the phone center stores because that was the up-and-coming thing, and that was probably late 70s, I guess. And or early 80s. Now, that position I didn't hold for long because once I was in the phone center stores, of course, I had matured quite a bit and was no longer playing games there. You know, I was working for a real job.
Right.
I was raising children. They promoted me right away within the year to a manager of the phone center store, and I held that position for quite a while, and it was a little touchy because they actually put me into the same store on a Monday that I worked in as a customer clerk on a Friday. So on Friday I was a customer clerk, and on Monday I was supervising all the people I worked with.
So wow, that must have been odd.
It was. It was a touchy situation, you know. And then when the phone company split and U.S. West came about, because before that it was all Mountain Bell, and the phone centers were kind of, I guess, on their way out, and they weren't doing as well as they were. We had the option to go with U.S. West, which was the more technical portion of the phone company, or stay with Mountain Bell. And I chose to go with U.S. West, and that's where all the computers came in. I went in as a computer operator, and never had been to college, never knew a thing about computers. They taught me everything I ever knew about computers. I was in that job for a couple of years, and it was the crummy, you know, low-end job where you had to go in at midnight and work till 8, 9 in the morning, and you loaded tapes and backed up the database and did updates. And then I just had a supervisor that really liked me again and chose to promote me into a management position. And although it was a management position, you really didn't supervise at that time very many people, or any people at all. In fact, it was more accepting the programs from Belcor, which was our main programming agent. And that was when C first kind of hit the waves, you know, and was the hot item, way before C+ and C++. And so what we did is we actually, at that point when I was in the management position, got the programming tapes from Belcor. We tailored them to fit our system. And I was actually in on the conversion of all the wire centers, which is basically a town, or a town may have more than one wire center, into the automated system. So I think Golden, which the prefix for that was GO, and then the three-digit prefix was our first one that we converted. I'm sure it was in Colorado, and I'm pretty sure it was Golden. So what we did is we took all of the telephone information from the manual records and made them an automated wire center. So now they were all backed up by the computer. Everything was updated by the computer. The service reps then started accessing the computer by their screens. They could get the information. They could see your residence. They could update your records. They could discontinue service. Everything on a screen that they had that kind of told them in English what was related to that wire center. So we would go through, we'd do the conversions, and basically what we would have to do is, when the wire centers were converted, we had three applications, an LFAX, a SOAC, and an app base, which was the base of your thing. LFAX was your loop facility something. SOAC was your service order, access and control, and then your base of the whole program. So they all had to have an LFAX, they all had to have a SOAC, and then they kind of rested on the app base, if you can kind of picture that. And everybody talked to each other, so when there was a service order issued, it hit SOAC first, then it went in and assigned the loops and facilities, and then it updated the database. So at night, the operators of where I had come out of would actually run these tapes and update all the customers' records. And I know at one time I was telling you that we had the Jump Key 13s, which were a lot of fun, and it's kind of a funky name. But
oh, yeah.
You actually keyed in a dollar sign and a bang sign, the exclamation,
right.
A dollar bang, or Jump Key 13. And basically what that did was completely wipe out the system. It took everything back to the basic system. So after you did Jump Key 13, you would have to reload all of the information. So if we converted like 10 or 15 wire centers, it not only updated those 10 or 15 wire centers, but it updated all of the information that we had done in the years previous to that. So as we went into the project more, you ran more tapes, the database got bigger. Every night there were backups, and we had to make sure we had a current backup. And there were times that we actually would stay up in the programming part 48, 58, 60 hours at a time, just because we would have problems on reloading the database, and those databases had to be up and running the next day or the service reps couldn't do any updates. So it was a fun job. There were a lot of times when tapes were running and we'd play hacky sack in the office, you know. I mean, you had to keep sane, and we worked kind of as a group. When I first went into it, I was one of the very few females, and then as the departments would grow, more females got involved, but it was typically a male-oriented office. Most of the management was male, and most of the people that did the same thing were male, but we kind of got our foot in the door and started becoming more female, and you know, it just divided in, and as we got to growing, more people would join, and we'd make different departments, and they'd support different parts of the system, so then the group that had that whole system would now only have a part of the system, and they didn't have to work the 12 or the 14 hours straight to get the jump key 13 done if it went fine. And you know, it was a great job. It was a great paying job. It was a wonderful job. I enjoyed it for the time I was there. And I chose to leave after many, many years with the phone company because it was also a very stressful job. So
oh, I bet. You helped pioneer modern communications. Essentially, and not to mention females in the telecommunication industry.
Yeah, it wasn't actually females in the telecommunication industry, because there were a lot of females in the telecommunication industry.
Operators?
Most of your operators were female.
Right.
Early years, that's probably all our offices were females. But I think it was more breaking into the technical.
Yeah, at that position, I mean, writing code.
Yeah.
Messing with the mainframes, that's...
We actually would do, like, there was a city that was moving their data center from one building to another building, and that was a major project, and what would happen would be they would come in and they would say, okay, here's the project, we're going to assign this many people, here's the head of the project, you know, and then the next layer and the next layer and the next layer, and we'd have backup people and stuff. And I was actually involved in a major data center move, and I actually headed up the application portion of that and worked very closely with that team. And that was a project that lasted probably 6 months, and that involved almost weekly traveling, sometimes twice a week. Sometimes staying out of town for 3 or 4 weeks at a time.
Wow.
And that was really interesting, and I learned so much, because I never went to school to learn any of this. So everything I currently know about computers, which sometimes isn't much, I learned by working with the phone company and by working with the computers. And, of course, we always had the updated equipment, so when PCs came into play and work offices were using them more, we got them probably ahead of the pack, you know, and we were trained on them and went to school for them, and, you know, we learned how to use Windows when that first came out. I mean, so we're talking years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it was a good job.
That's amazing. Your stories always amaze me.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you're a great orator. I mean,
oh, thanks.
It's definitely enjoyable. And you know what? I don't want to keep you. I can't thank you enough for being on the show. A lot of people, a lot of hackers and phone freaks, I'm sure you've heard of freaks before, listen to the show. I can't tell you how much I enjoy quote playing with phones and listening to your stories just makes me smile to no end. I know
most
people in the world probably think I'm really weird, but but I love it.
If anybody has any questions, you can feel free to call me. You know how to reach me.
Oh, thank you so much, woman of telco. I can't thank you enough.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.
That's all I wanted to hear.